lesson.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 88, stanzas 1 and 3. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast. The meek shall hear with joy. And what follows in 1 and 3 of Psalter 88.
out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Psalms, Psalm 66, were first the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 66. To the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who dost hold our soul in life, each and every one of us, so that we are permitted to continue to this moment, and thou makest a difference with others, and then we especially remember in this day once again the beloved for the Father's sakes, for thy word does say, as thy servant did express it, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Thou hast brought us through fire and through water, but thou hast brought also out into a wealthy place. And thou, who dost cause men yet to ride over their heads, that thou may remember them, O Lord, and that thou may deliver them from all this enmity, from all this hatred against thee and against all that is of thine, and that thou may bring that people to receive open eyes. Thou art able to make a way through the sea upon dry land. Oh, we beseech thee, because also the enemy, they have souls, they have wives, they have little children, and there is so much suffering when fighting is coming into this world. O Lord, deliver them from it in thy mercy, and wilt thou give peace also in other places where there is war in this world, that thou may bring men to thy blessed footstool, and that thou may bring thy truth to prevail over the length and the breadth of this world, that thou may deliver from all the errors of the prince of darkness whereby he does deceive men, and that we also may be undeceived, for thou knowest our hearts by nature, and we can have thy truth, and we can have it as a doctrine, but we need to experience it as a truth in our heart. O Lord, we beseech thee, remember us. And when thou hast brought this people into conflict once again, oh, that it may be even a means in thy hand to bring them to thy truth, and that thou may give, for thou givest it so often, that it is through trials and afflictions that thou bringest men to acknowledge their departure from thee. Lord, that thou may give us also such an acknowledgement, when thy truth may be professed amongst us, when it may be in our minds, when it may be a confession also, that we do make with all of our heart in a natural way, then we still need to know our wretchedness, and we need to know our misery, and we need to know that we have forsaken thee, and we need to sorrow thereunder, and we need to feel that missing of thee and that longing for thee, that we may desire to return unto thee. O Lord, give it in our hearts for the first time or by renewal, and make us to long for thee, the true and the living God, our maker and our creator, the father of all the creation, and that we may see that we have lost thee as father. But thou dost make thyself father unto thy people in such a new and such a living way, as the father of thy dear and only begotten Son, that thou wilt make thyself father unto an adopted church, whom thou wilt take as thy own sinful people, who have transgressed against thee, who have rebelled against thee, so that thou sayest in thy word, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So there is none of us that can put our hand in our own bosom and take it out clean. But we all must confess that we are as an unclean thing. Oh, that thou may give such a confession to live in our hearts, both young and old together, that we may be given that blessed place of true humility in dust of self-abasement before thee, and that thou would teach us to pray, even as thy people did pray in the wilderness, when they are brought to their wits' end, when they were brought unto the gates of death, and when they cried unto thee in their trouble, and thou didst hear them from heaven, thy dwelling place, and that thou didst deliver them from all their afflictions, and that thou didst give them to magnify thy name. Oh, that men may praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Lord, we have it all in the Bible, and we have it all in our mind, and we cannot one of us bring it in our hearts.
not for the first or by renewal, that is a work of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou come unto us then in this thy holy day and give us such a blessed love for thee and desire for thee and a longing for thee which is all pleasing unto thee and is answered by thee and glorifies thee and thy Father and thy Holy Spirit. And wilt thou forgive all of our many sins, those that we know and those that we don't know, because we are compassed about with iniquity and all transgression, and even thy true church, oh, then they have also to complain about themselves. But Lord, that thou may wash and that thou may cleanse, and that thou may renew also to that new life that begins a life of holiness here below, only to be perfected in that place of pure holiness before thy throne in heaven, where the holy angels do serve thee, where they do magnify thee. O, give thy church a desire by times, O, to lay down this body of sin and death, that they may be so completely delivered from all iniquity, and that they may be brought into that blessed and perfect communion with thee, that thou may look upon all thy people over the length and the breadth of the whole world. For thou knowest where they are. Thou hast one church, and that is a church that thou wilt cleanse unto thyself. And thou knowest the trial and tribulation that many do suffer. And we know not what shall come yet upon us and upon our children, that thou may remember all in their sufferings and give that strength and that courage to remain in thy way, and that thou wouldst deliver from all tribulation, and that thou may remember all thy truly sent servants also upon the mission field. Wilt thou supply for them in all discouragements and all the emptiness that they can feel when they are so lonely. Wilt thou be unto them a near friend and a near helper, and that thou may bless the labors of their hands to the gladness of their hearts, and that thou may encourage in all the labors that thou dost place upon them, that thou may remember also all those that rule and reign over us. Bring us back, O Lord, to thy word and to thy testimonies, and that we may be a people who come also in an outward way to learn of thy commandments, to walk therein, and to put away sin from amongst us as a nation, as a province, as a community. Wilt thou help us therein? Remember all that are in the hospital. Remember all those that mourn. Thou knowest also the recent death, the child, the son. Remember the mother amongst us, her husband and her children also. Wilt thou supply for them in this deep way, and that thou mayest comfort as no man is able to comfort, be with the old, be with the handicapped, be with those that are not married, be with those that are barren, be with those that suffer from addictions, and all those that have trials and needs and cares and concerns and burdens in this life, and do make sin to be our burden. For the first, but also by renewal, thou knowest all of thy own people, Lord, and thou knowest how far that they can stray away from thee, but they cannot depart altogether. and not because they can hold on to it, but because thou wilt hold on to them. O Lord, that thou may remember each and every one where they are, and that thou mayst blow upon that garden to make the spices thereof to flow out. Lord, bless us this hour. Be thou in the midst of us feelingly and believingly. Come thou with thy Holy Spirit. Touch the hearts of the dead and influence also the hearts of the living, that they may be once again drawn unto thee and thy dear and only begotten Son, who has given himself so freely for thy people. O Lord, increase their number. Also in the midst of us, from among both young and old. And thou knowest the old, and also sometimes the hardness that they feel in their hearts, but also sometimes the fears that they feel in their hearts. And thou can make them, Lord, like a little child. Oh, that thou may give it unto them, a new birth that thou can give when a man is 100 years old, to break the hard and the stony heart, and to give a heart of flesh. Oh, Lord, there is nothing that is too wonderful for thee. Bless us undeservedly, help us to bring thy word. Give us wisdom, give us discretion, and give us thy Spirit in a rich measure, forgiving all that is amiss and sinful in thy most holy sight, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter 175, stanzas 1 through 4. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. 1 through 4 of Psalter 175. Beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus told of a man who planted a vineyard. Why did he plant that vineyard? He told of that too. That was that he may seek fruits. That he may seek fruits within his vineyard. What is the purpose of the existence of this world? In it, the Lord has planted a vineyard. For what purpose? That is to seek fruits from his vineyard. You say it did not go so well in the creation because man fell away from him. It went, congregation, precisely as the Lord has decreed that it would go, that it should go. And indeed, the Lord, when planting his vineyard, is gathering. He is gathering a church unto himself. That is the very purpose of the existence of this whole world. And as soon as the last one is brought in of that church, the last one of those fruits of his vineyard, then this world is going to come to its end. What is the purpose of our life? That is the purpose that this world is existing. That is the purpose that he has planted his vineyard. What is now the purpose of our life? What is our purpose in life? Does that now go along with the purpose of the Lord? Or are all of our purposes only carnal? Have they only to do with everything that is here below? How does the Lord gather his church? That is not a haphazard thing. That is a very orderly thing. The Lord has determined specific means by which he will gather in his own people. Are we now concerned also about that question, that we say, how is it that the Lord is gathering his church? Because if the Lord has given us a saving impression in our heart, then we are concerned with this question. How may I come in? How may I personally be brought in as a fruit of that vineyard of Christ? Our text for this afternoon can be found in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, the 5th verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, the 5th verse. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. So far the words of our text. Christ commends his bride for the fruitfulness of a close life. First, for her affections. Second, for the fruit of her affections. Christ commends his bride for the fruitfulness of a close life. First, for her affections. Second, for the fruit of her affections. Before sin came into this world, our first parents, we read, were created naked, and we read that they were not ashamed. After sin has come into this world, then we can read that our first parents were ashamed to be naked even before one another. Thus the Lord clothed them. And ever since that day, the Lord has commanded his creature, mankind, who has sinned against him, because he cannot live anymore in holiness, because he cannot live anymore in righteousness, he has commanded man to be clothed, do we also cover ourselves? Maybe we should begin there. Or are we a grief congregation to God's people? Or are we an abomination to the Lord himself? It is Satan who goes directly against the word of the Lord, the desire of the Lord, the command of the Lord. So everything and that says in this world that we must be less covered, that is of the devil. That is not only for the women, that is also for the men. By Jeremiah, the Lord complained of his own people. He says, everyone is neighing after his neighbor's wife. That is, of course, common in the world in which we are living. The congregation, then these things we hear are also happening in our midst, are happening even in the midst of the church. Do we then feel to be somewhat separated from the world? When all these things are living in our hearts, and all these things, they are happening also in the midst of us. Solomon, he writes, why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why wilt thou do that? He says, is it now necessary for you to do that? Is it now necessary for you to sin in such a way? Does the Lord withhold from man even the lawful pleasures of this life? Drink waters, he says, out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. That congregation is not the word of a man. That is now the word of God. It is the word of the Lord. Paul wrote unto Titus, unto the unclean, unto him that is defiled, he said, and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Oh, the world of iniquity that lives within the heart of us by nature, and even after received grace, oh, if the Lord leaves us go one moment, and then we go the way of the world, we go the way of sin, we go the way of the flesh. But Paul said also, unto the pure, all things are pure. And so he also spoke about marriage, saying that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. That is spoken in a certain context. That is spoken within the context of the purity and the loveliness of marriage that the Lord has given in the midst of this world. And then those breasts are representations of conjugal affection, of affection between a man and his wife. In Song of Solomon 1, the bride says, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. What does that mean? That means he will lie as close to me as is possible. Then he will lie there next to my heart, as close to my heart as he can come. There is no closer union in this whole world than the union that the Lord makes between a man and his wife. The Lord says of that union, they are no more twain, but they are one flesh. That is a mysterious union. Solomon, in all his wisdom from the Lord, says that is now a union that he was not able to comprehend. The way he says of a man with a maid, that is the union that the Lord himself is giving. That is an affection that the Lord himself is giving. What is the word of God? Ah, you say that is his word. And words, they are for what? They are to express something. So then when we express something with a word, then we are communicating what is in our mind, what is in our thoughts. How do we now best say what is in our mind to someone else that comes out in words? Thus, what is the word of the Lord? That is a communication. It is a communication of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of the mind of God. Now that word is full of metaphors. It is full of pictures. That is, the Lord opens up to our understanding, the rational understanding of a man, and then he brings that in the heart by the use of so many of these metaphors. That's what is it that the Spirit of the Lord will express in the words of our text. That is the affection that is living in the heart of the bride for the bridegroom. The affection that is living in the heart of the church for Christ. The affection that is living in the heart of Christ for his church. And now what other example could have been used in all the world to express in a stronger way than the example that the Lord has chosen to use here? Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Because there is nothing in this world that is stronger when it is right than that love, the affection that a man and a woman are given by the Lord for one another. Oh, do we have that affection, husbands and wives? Do we have that affection that belongs to marriage? Because there are so many things that are fighting against this in the world in which we live. Do we take care of that affection? Do we water that affection? Just like we water the plants in our home, that we may keep them alive. Or do we try then with all our strength to make this, that it continues even to the end of our life, when Satan is bringing in so many ways, so many things against it. And then it is not only for ourselves, but it is a representation, because the Lord uses it in order to communicate something unto us that is between himself and his church. And the Lord says it is likened unto this. Oh, that affection that is living in my heart for my bride that is like the affection that is living in your heart, husbands, for your wife. That is like the affection that is living in your heart, wives, for your husband. And when your affection for one another is waning away, then the understanding and the conception of these spiritual things is also waning away. Oh, the Lord give us to walk in all of His ways. The Lord desires communion with His own people. And the Lord is so very pleased when the heart of His people is going out after Himself. He is delighting in this. Oh, what an offense then, when the heart of His people is wandering away from Him. Do you know what He calls that? He calls that playing the harlot. Oh, like a wife who goes away from her husband. That is such an offense. When His people, they begin to desire once again, when the affections are taken away from Him, and they are going out after the world, they are going out after the idols of this world, then the Lord says to His people that you play the harlot. And then the Lord says, I will go and I will return unto My place until they acknowledge their offense and seek My face. Oh, does the Lord withdraw then from you? Why then is it so empty? Why then are you so barren? Oh, can you trace that? It is not always so. It is not always so. But so often it is so. That can be traced unto the actions and the heart and the loss of the affections that are living in the heart of His own people. The Lord, He says, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. Thy two breasts are like two young roses. Did you ever see two young roses? That is beautiful. When you see them out in the field, and you see that there is new life, that is a beautiful life. There is a certain expectation, and there is a certain innocence that is found there. You say there is a certain lack of defilement. Oh, that affection that is going out of the heart of the church unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that is so beautiful to Me. That is so drawing unto Me when it is singular. Or there can be so many things that are wrong in the heart of the bride. There can be so much lack of knowledge. There can be so many errors here and there. But now it is the love and it is the affection that is living in her heart. Oh, that is overcoming all of that iniquity. And that is drawing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing so pure as the world that is between Christ and His church. It is a world that is cleansed. It is a world that is cleansed by Him. Why? Because He desires that world. Even to His people that have played the harlot. Even to His people that have left Him days without number. Oh, we can hear Him saying to them, yet return again unto Me. Oh, He desires to dwell with them. He desires to commune with them. Naomi wandered away with her husband unto Moab. But then the Lord brought her back again in the way of affliction. That is often the way that the Lord is bringing His people back again. It is sad that it has to be so, but that is not because of the Lord. It is because of that people. And then, oh, what can He do? Oh, He has to lay this on them. He has to lay that on them. But the Lord will never let his people, not one of his people, to perish. Therefore I will allure her, he says, and I will bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak comfortably unto her. Oh, do you desire that, congregation, that the Lord would allure you? Oh, do you say, oh, I can see that he allures this one. He allures his heart. He draws his heart. Oh, do you desire that you say, Lord, wilt thou draw me also? Wilt thou allure me with the love that thou givest in the heart of all thy people? Do you desire, congregation, that the Lord would speak unto you? That he would say a word unto you? What do you desire that he would say to you? Oh, you say, I would desire that he would say to me that he loves me. I would like him to say to me that he is mine and that I am his, that I am his own child, that he is my savior, that he is my surety. That is what I want him to say to me. I want him to tell me that out of his own mouth. Oh, they are affections that are pleasing unto him. And when those affections are lively, when those affections are burning in the heart of his own people, oh, then he says, how lovely that thou art, he says, for delights, and how ready he is to take that people, even that wandering people, back unto himself. Oh, he is so ready to speak unto them. He is so ready to tell them all his heart. Oh, he's so ready to say that he forgives them. He is so ready to say that he washes them. And then he says to them, but will you not play the harlot anymore? Will you reserve all of your love for me now? And wilt thou forsake all your former friends? Oh, he is so pleased with what? The close life. The close life. How is it with you, people of the Lord? We sing that sometimes. My Savior, neath thy sheltering wings, my soul delights to dwell. Still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. Oh, do you experience that in your life? If you may experience that in your life, then you desire that place over and over again. That is a life of dependence. It is a life of affection going out to him, to depend on him for everything, for forgiveness, for washing, for renewal, and for a complete redemption. Oh, a life of affection, a close life that is always fleeing to him as a place of refuge, as a rock of refuge, where they can hide themselves, to hide themselves from the attacks of the enemy. Oh, to run to him again and again, to take with them all their guilt and all their pollution and all their error and all their ignorance, and flee unto him to hide themselves, to hide under the shadow of his wings. And when they may find such a place, oh, then they desire, oh, can I stay here? Can I stay here? Oh, sometimes in that place they say, Lord, now let me die. Now let me die, because it is a little bit of heaven to experience his nearness, to experience hearing the words of his mouth. Now that is so delightful to him. And it is not only delightful to him, but it is also so profitable unto him. We see that in our second place, in the fruit of her affections. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Thus the breast is more than a representation of the affections. When we live according to the word of God, then the fruit of those conjugal affections is childbearing. Now the world seeks to separate those two things. Two things, congregation, that the Lord has joined together. The creation, then you read that several times, how that the Lord has commanded man and his living creatures to be fruitful and multiply. And he has renewed that command even after that he has destroyed the wicked world with the flood. Jacob blessed Joseph. He blessed Joseph with what? With the fruit of the breasts and of the womb. Only the Lord can give that. That is a great blessing. Only ask those from whom that blessing is withheld. And now that fruit of the womb, that is now what the Lord is using to build his church. In a special way, when those children are born under the confines of the visible church, oh, the Lord is in a special way taking those for his children. You believe that, fathers and mothers? You ever lay that before the Lord? But the Lord is promising in that sacrament of baptism, then that fruit, it does not only have to do with us. No, that has to do with the Lord. Then the Lord has a certain interest in that. And that's why the Lord has also a certain command in that. And then the Lord is also caring for those who are walking according to his commandments, that they are going in his way, that the Lord is giving their people in all the needs, which can be so many. Oh, the Lord is giving their people then a place. You ever feel that, fathers and mothers? The Lord is giving their people a place before his own footstool. Do you know what David said? David says, "Thou hast given me to hope when I was upon my mother's breast." Ever think about that, fathers? Ever think about that, mothers? That is now where that child was fed, by his mother, yes. But that is also where David says he was fed already by the Lord. You ever have prayer in your heart? And when you may feed your child, your little child, and have David in your heart, and say, "O Lord, wilt thou give this child? Wilt thou give this child that I may feed, that I may take care of?" All that you may lay so close to your heart, wilt thou do with this child as thou didst unto David of old, to give him hope, Lord, to make this child hope even in the days of his infancy. Thus we have the second representation in the fruit of the womb, in the feeding and in the nourishment of his church. Let us sing 163, stanzas 1 and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. 1 and 3 of 163. Thank you. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. What does it mean now to feed among the lilies? In chapter 2, Christ calls himself a lily. He calls himself the lily of the valleys. And then he also calls his people lilies. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Thus, to feed among the lilies is to feed in that place where Christ feeds and in the place where his church, his people are feeding. Thus, we see again that reference to that close life that is with Christ. But now it is extended also unto his church, that they are all feeding together with him. Thus the church has a place there, that bride with that church, that is her close life with him, that is bringing profit for the church, fruit in that church. And he speaks about the abundance of that fruit, because it does not just say like two young roes. If we may see two young roes, then that is all we see. But he says these two young roes are twins. That is, that they are coming from the same mother. That is, that mother is not bringing forth only one, but that mother is bringing forth two. Thus, it is speaking about the abundant fruitfulness, all that is a consequence of that close life, her affectionate life with him. Church does not often realize what a benefit that their close life with the Lord is in the midst of the church. That is not only for herself, but that is also for the whole church of God. They are the blessings of the womb. Oh, that close life is a means that the Lord is using to bring forth new ones by means of a holy jealousy. Or that perceive the portion that the people are given. Or are you ever made jealous when you may behold a people who have come out from that immediate presence, as it were? Or then you may feel that when they may come out of that immediate presence of the Lord. Thus, the Lord does not only use the preaching. There may also be an allusion to that here. But the Lord is also using the example and the life and the conversation often of his own people. Ruth was drawn by this, despite all the afflictions that her mother-in-law had to suffer, who had wandered away. But the Lord does not let his people go. No, he did not let Naomi go. He brings her back. And then the Lord is drawing his people again unto himself. And then often at the same time, oh, he is bringing others by that means along with them. That church is not only referred to as the bride of Christ in the Word of God. A church is also referred to as the mother. Thus the Apostle Paul says, Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. Thus that church is, as it were, a breeding ground. A breeding ground for that elect church of God. Or if we desire to be born again, oh, then then remain upon that breeding ground. Now that is also the place where those newborn are led to the breast of the mother. And it is possible that has some reference here unto the ministers of the word. But they are referred to in general in the Song of Solomon as the watchmen. But it is now also true that the Lord is using his established church that she may feed, that she may nourish that concerned church. We can read in God's word that that established church was even used to instruct the ministers of the word. Now we read about Priscilla and Aquila and how that they have brought Apollos to them and that they have instructed him more perfectly in the things and in the way of the Lord. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins which feed among the lilies. What does it speak about? It speaks about maturity. The maturity in the ways of grace. Later on in the Song of Solomon, then we read that we have a little sister which hath no breasts. What does that mean? She is still a little child. Then she is not yet mature. She is young. She has no ability to bring forth, and she has no ability to nourish. Young people, where do you go for guidance? We read about Rehoboam, that he forsook the counsel of the old men and he heard the counsel of the young men. He followed that counsel of the young men that were brought up with him. That was not wise of him. Why not? Well, because those young men, they may have had lots of wisdom, but they had no experience. They were young. They did not have the ability to lead Rehoboam in that right way. You study your Bible. Or we hope you may study that Bible. But then what do you do? Because here and there in the Christian church we read and we hear of those young people, and then they all come together and they are going to study the Bible together. Oh, it is good to study the Bible. But now what are you doing? Now you are going to look to your friend and he is going to explain the Bible to you. You're going to look to him for spiritual guidance when he is not fit to give unto you spiritual guidance. I do not say that those who are older in grace, not necessarily in age, but that those who are older in grace always have an answer for the difficult questions that you can have when you are young. Do you know what they have? They have maturity. They have maturity. Especially in the ways that the Lord is leading his people. You know, Ahithophel gave David advice. David went to him. When you went to Ahithophel, it was as if a man inquired at the oracle of God. But he did not have one stitch of true godliness in his heart. And you say, David did not understand as much as Ahithophel. But David had now experience from his mother's womb. From his mother's womb. That he was converted by the Lord. And the Lord led that man all through his life. And then the Lord used that man for the feeding of his church. He inspired that man, how many psalms, that he may give instruction unto us. Oh, the Lord gives that maturity for a reason. He gives that maturity for a purpose. And what is that purpose? That is that they may feed among the lilies. But now, if we will go to another pasture to say, well, I need nourishment from here or there in a different pasture, well, congregation, that does not say much good for us. That is not a very good sign. Oh, do not look for new things. No, look for true things. And the experience of that truth in the heart that is hidden from the wise and the prudent, and that is revealed unto the babes. The closer that God's people live, the more fit that they are to feed the little ones. Is that now not the debt, people of the Lord? Is that now not the debt of the church? Is that now not what is contributing to the reason that there is so little birthing in that church of God? To live so far away, that is now a reproach to a wife, and it is a burden to her husband. There are special times. Oh, there are times that the Lord is bringing his people. We read in Song of Solomon, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And then she comes out of the banqueting house, and what is she doing? Oh, then her heart is bursting. It is bursting over. And then she is speaking unto those daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, then her breasts, as it were, they are filling with milk. Oh, it is a representation of the abundance, a representation of the blessings, a representation of the prosperity. You know, when Job, he wants to speak about a prosperous man, and what does he say about that man? He says, his breasts are full of milk. O people of the Lord, does the Lord ever fill your soul with milk from his nearness? When he speaks unto your soul, why does he do that? Oh, he has a purpose with that. Oh, that you may be given to feed. That it may also be coming forth from you what is to be a nourishment, what is to be for the good, what is to be for the encouragement of the little ones, what is to be for the feeding, what is to be for the glory, for the honor of the Lord. What instruction, what comfort, what hope is to be received from that church. Then that wife of that husband, oh, she is, we sing that so often, don't we? When there's a wedding, she shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. That bride, that church of God, she is for Christ as a fruitful vine by the sides of his house. That is not to bring the preaching of the word, no. No, it is by the sides of that house. Oh, she is there as a testimony, as it were. Her life is a testimony, and her speaking that is according to that which may be brought from that word. And then those little ones, oh, they are taught to remain in that pasture. Oh, then she says, go not, my daughters, into any other field, but remain here fast by my maidens. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Oh, listen to Hannah. Hannah, what did she do? She went into that temple of the Lord. And when she went, in all her trouble, in all her difficulties, And she could not do anything for herself. Her husband could not do anything for her either. You ever have that? And you come there into that house of God, and there bow your knees, you fold your hands before the Lord, and you say, "Oh Lord, here is my case. It is a singular case. There is no case like it in the world." Oh, and then the Lord answered Hannah there. Oh, and then, oh, she was so full. Well, you read it when you go home. You can read that in the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, and how that woman, she could not help. She was just overflowing, and how that now has fed that church of God for so many ages. He raiseth the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth the beggar from the dunghill. Oh, how many have now benefited, have now milked out from the blessed testimony of Hannah. Oh, did you ever feed? We read of Mary, that she went to see Elizabeth, and there Christ was in her womb. And so you have Christ, and you have those two women, and there the Spirit comes. There the Spirit comes. There John the Baptist is, and he is there among the lilies, and they are feeding there among the lilies. And then, oh, she is so full. So full. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and he hath sent the rich empty away. Oh, what a feeding, what a nourishment, what a drawing that now has brought in from that time until this day. Oh, congregation, seek that field. Seek that field among the lilies, where Christ is himself feeding amongst his church, and where that mother church is bringing forth her little ones. It is all the way of the Lord. It is not haphazard. No, it is all directed by him. It is all the way that he has established. It is an institution that he himself has given. Oh, be diligent then in the use of the means. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Will we be among them? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou alone can fill us, because this is all outside of the doings of men. It is all and that is happening by thy Spirit, Lord, in a natural way, in a spiritual way. Oh, Lord, come then with thy Spirit, and give new ones to be born also here, and give the affection of thy people to be aroused continually, that they also may come continually out of thy presence, so filled that they may speak, lest the stones cry out. Remember us together as a congregation, that we may be part of that vineyard which thou hast planted here below, part of thy true church, and that thou may come and gather and reap the fruits that also may be coming from this part of thy vineyard. And wilt thou be with us in the day of tomorrow, and when we hope to gather again in a day of thanksgiving. Give us desire, give us also ability, help those that do lead, and wilt thou forgive and take away all that is amiss, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 51. All the stanzas amid the thronging worshipers. Jehovah will I bless before my brethren gathered there. His name will I confess. Come, praise him, ye that fear the Lord, ye children of his grace. with reverence, sound his glories forth, and bow before his face. All the stanzas of Psalter 51. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.